guess the people who went to Afghanistan and who did all laid all the groundwork for there in terms of the intelligence operation, I guess you'd consider those to be essential employees.
They were probably on the list, yes.
By anybody's definition.
Yeah. Do you think this makes that whole debate look a little silly at this point?
Well, I think that debate looked silly all on its own.
Okay, fair enough.
But it does sort of, heighten the contrast, I think. And, you know, one of the interesting things is I do think people genuinely have a great affinity and respect, certainly for members of the military services, and I think to about the same extent to people who work in intelligence operations. I don't think that, you know, they tend not to think of them as being, those people as being the government, even though really they are. But I think there, you know, there's a pretty deep reservoir of respect for them that doesn't necessarily translate to people who are just viewed as more sort of straight civil servants.
Well, you're right about that. And whenever I imagine we run into this pushback from the average citizen on the street, it's about them dang blasted bureaucrats. But I wonder if events and things like Public Service Recognition Week are really enough to make the impression that you get some of this all put together. It's not like you can say we want some of this and we don't want any of that.
Yeah, I think it, you know, events like Public Service Recognition Week don't go all that far. I think they tend to be sort of public servants congratulating other public servants.
Mm-hmm.
But that said, they draw some attention to the good work that people in government do. And when they used to have these things on the Mall, they were fairly impressive. You know, you'd see a lot of different federal operations. And I think it does, to the extent that people can get a chance to experience it, give them some sense of the breadth of things that government does.
I want to also give you kudos for pulling down that picture. I think is it from the New York Times of the Situation Room from Sunday? With the vice president, the president. I'm looking at the faces that I recognize. Joint Chiefs Chair, Admiral Mullen, Bill Daley, Secretary Clinton, Secretary Gates. There are a bunch of Mr. Brennan, General Clapper, and so on. That is quintessential, I think, federal operations when you see the brain power that's at work in that room.
Yeah, and it really does give you a sense of people sort of all collectively on the edges of their chairs, literally on the edges of their chairs, wondering what's happening with this operation. I mean, I can see why the White House released this photo yesterday, and I think, you know, pretty much everybody picked it up late yesterday. But it does give you a real sense, and I love the fact that in the picture, President Obama sort of off in the corner in one of the smaller chairs, you know.
That is interesting.
I'm thinking, like, shouldn't he be telling somebody, hey, get out of the big chair. I'm the guy in charge here.
What is the significance long-term, do you think, of something like bin Laden? Above and beyond the military significance, the operational significance in Afghanistan, all of that. Is this potentially the kind of shot in the arm that morale that will help morale in federal government?
I think to a certain extent, yes. I think it represents something of a turnaround. It's a real significant accomplishment that an administration and a group of people in government were able to pull off. I think it would have been very bad if it had come out that it had failed, like the Jimmy Carter hostage rescue way back in 1980. I mean, that was, you know, that did real damage. It sort of made people think, gosh, is there anything we can do?
Yeah.
And I also think that generationally, one of the things that really struck me was how many young people who really, you know, maybe in their childhood experienced the 9/11 attacks really viewed this with a sense of great relief and, you know, exultation, really, in a way that we were finally able to get back at him for this thing that he did.
I was fascinated by some of the response on Sunday night. One of the first things I did to demonstrate that I've totally transformed into a new media geek is that I got on Twitter to see what the buzz was, if anybody knew anything about what the president was going to talk about. I guess the first reports I heard that he was going to speak were in the 10 o'clock to 10:15 time frame. And so I get on Twitter and started following all the things that were going on there. I was amazed as events developed throughout the night to see what you said about the number of young people that were celebrating, but also the sense of pride that was involved, where normally, as a cynical, now older person, I tend to think of a bunch of college students getting together to just raise a ruckus. And as they talked to individual people by the White House and then the group that developed at Ground Zero, too, I got a sense that the young people that were there got it, and it wasn't just a chance to raise whatever. It was a demonstration of understanding, patriotism, and pride, and I was surprised and happily surprised by that.
Yeah, I think it was sort of a genuine outpouring. I think it would have been a matter of somewhat more concern had it gone on for very long. But, you know, it was one night where people said, hey, finally we got this guy who did this terrible thing. And I think that, you know, it really put it in perspective for people. And I wonder if it did, over the long haul, give sort of a younger generation of people some additional confidence that, hey, we can attack any number of problems. And there is a sort of element of, listen, we're going to stick with this. Yeah, it took 10 years, but we made a pledge that we were going to do it, and we did it however long it would take.
I remember after 9/11 happened, hearing an analyst, and I wish I could give him credit today, this analyst said, in response to a question about, well, when can we expect an attack to happen again? He laid out the timeline in context of the original World Trade Center bombing, noting that these could be years or maybe even decades apart, and the warning that this person offered was, this is an organization that's willing to take plenty of time. They see this as a kind of an epic battle that they're engaged in, this jihad effort, and they don't feel the need to come back and strike right away or whatever. And so I thought it was interesting that we kept talking about the fact that this took 10 years and marking that as a long time, where in the context of their point of view, it's probably about right that it fits right in their timeline. Another thing that I was struck by, Tom, as I got onto the social media on Sunday night, was all the discussion. There seemed to be a subset of folks that were disappointed in the celebration, not certainly disappointed in bin Laden being dead, but saying, boy, is this really the kind of country that we want to be in, where people are celebrating somebody dead, somebody being killed in a military operation, that kind of thing? What's your take on that?
Well, it does sort of give you a little bit of pause that, you know, when you realize you're celebrating someone being killed. But I don't think people were really doing that so much as they were celebrating, you know, the fact that we'd accomplished this long-term goal and that, in a sense, justice had been done. So I think, again, had it gone on for any length of time, it might have become unseemly at a certain point. But I think, really, in the context, it's not a cause for huge concern.